This summer, we have been exploring some stories out of the book of Genesis about God's original chosen family, the Hebrew people. And it's brought to our attention some of the dynamics that are at play in the life of families. Things like romance, jealousy, and sibling rivalries. Sometimes family members even struggle with each other. And we see this with Jacob and Esau. They had lived at odds with each other for most of their lives. But eventually, God led Jacob to seek out his brother and reconcile their relationship. Though this was really stressful on Jacob. In fact, on the night before he was going to face Esau, Jacob didn't get much sleep because he had an all-night wrestling match with God. Now, this story is found in Genesis chapter 32, and I'll read verses 22 through 31. If you have your Bible with you, I invite you to open to that passage. Again, it's Genesis 32, verses 22 through 31. Now, let's listen now to these words of Scripture. The same night, he got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Amen. In life, you win some and you lose some. I think how you respond is what really matters. But people don't always respond well, especially to the losses. They act like poor losers. And there are plenty of examples of this from the world of sports. If you Google it, a long list will pop up. You'll find people on there like Bobby Knight throwing chairs across the basketball court, or Bill Belichick not talking to reporters after his team loses a game, or players who are unwilling to shake the hands of their opponents when they've been defeated. Over the years, lots of people have contributed to a culture of losers, poor losers in sports. And that's in part due to the messages that they've conveyed. The legendary NFL coach Vince Lombardi once said, "If you can accept losing, then you can't win." And Nike promoted a similar idea in an ad they ran before the Olympic Games. Their message was, "You don't win silver, you lose gold." Now, when you take these ideas to heart, it becomes really hard to deal with defeat. And we do know what that looks like, because we have seen plenty of examples of athletes who've pouted and acted childish when they've been on the losing side of a game. Life, of course, isn't all about winning and losing. Every person faces battles in life, and it's certainly nice when we win. But I think we're better served when we learn and grow from our experiences. In our scripture passage, we find Jacob in trouble. He was caught in an all-night wrestling match. Now, we may never be in the same situation, but likely we will find ourselves struggling with one thing or another. It might be a relationship or a belief or our work or what God is calling us to do. And in times like this, answers may not come easily. And it may be tempting for us to look for the easy way out. Jacob was tempted to do the same thing as he faced his troubles, which I want to point out he was largely responsible for. As you'll remember, Jacob was favored by his mother Rebekah, and Esau was favored by their father Isaac, which just created a situation for an intense sibling rivalry. The brothers were constantly competing with each other, but Jacob always seemed to figure out how to win. You know, he tricked his brother into giving him his birthright, and then he tricked his father into giving him the blessing that was really belonged to Esau. And that infuriated Esau, so much so that he vowed to kill his brother, and that's why Jacob ran for his life. But Jacob probably thought he could still find a way to come out on top. And as the years passed, Jacob continued to find sneaky ways to win his battles. Now, some of his ways were rather crooked, but the Lord kept working on him. And eventually, at the Lord's nudging, he decided it was time to finally return home and reconcile with his brother. So he traveled back to the land where he grew up and where Esau still lived. Though Jacob really wasn't looking forward to this family reunion, he was fearful that his brother's hatred and his anger towards him had festered, and that Esau would destroy him. So Jacob sent a group of people ahead of him, bearing gifts. It was his way of trying to butter up his brother and save his own skin. And Jacob at this point was left all alone, and he decided to spend the night at a place called Peniel. Now, it's not clear why Jacob wanted to be alone. Maybe he just needed the quiet time to get ready to face his brother. But it really didn't matter why he wanted the solitude. The focus here in our scripture passage is on what happened next. And what happened was an unnamed man came out of nowhere and pounced on Jacob. And they wrestled all night long. But who was this man? Well, first, Jacob may have thought he was wrestling with his brother Esau, since they had been feuding for a long time and Esau wanted to kill him. But as the night went on, Jacob and this unnamed man tangled with each other, where neither one proved to be stronger than the other, and neither one wanted to give up. And by daybreak, it really wasn't clear who won the wrestling match. Jacob was wounded. He'd walk away from it with a limp. But it does seem that he gained a clearer understanding of who he was wrestling. He said, "For I have seen God face to face." And then the Lord said to him, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and prevailed." Now, I don't know if that means Jacob won the wrestling match. He certainly, though, was changed from his struggle. God had given him a new name. He was given a new identity. He was transformed by this experience. Now, this story from Genesis invites us to acknowledge our own wrestling matches, and we have them, don't we? You know, we tend to wrestle with family members and friends, and perhaps we wrestle with ourselves more than anyone else. We wrestle with our past. We wrestle with how we may have hurt someone. We wrestle with our sin. You know, we wrestle with these things because we are trying to make sense of life. And we do wrestle with a lot of different things, but this story is inviting us to take it to another level and wrestle with God, which isn't unique to Jacob, because we see that happen again and again in the Bible. Abraham and Sarah wrestled with God after years of praying for a child and no results. Moses wrestled with God as he grew increasingly frustrated leading the people of Israel through the wilderness. David wrestled with God during a time in which his enemies were in hot pursuit, forcing him to hide in a cave. The prophet Jeremiah wrestled with God as he cried out in anger. Paul wrestled with God after repeatedly praying for healing but not receiving it. And even Jesus wrestled with God when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed, "My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me." See, again and again, the Bible invites us to wrestle with God. And there are lots of things that we wrestle with. Sometimes we certainly need to wrestle with God about our beliefs. Sometimes we need to wrestle with God concerning our relationships. Sometimes we need to wrestle with God regarding an issue we see in our world. We should be willing to wrestle with God because it's in the very struggle that we're able to work out the implications of the gospel on our lives. But this is really hard. It can be a struggle. It can be frustrating. It can leave us feeling angry because we want life to be easier than it is. But we wrestle with God because we want to make sense of things. We wrestle with God because we long for the Lord's blessings. There are many situations that cause us to struggle. There are many things that we just don't understand. There are many things that can lead us to question God. But let's recognize that the Lord isn't inflicting these struggles on us. The Lord doesn't inflict hard and hurtful things on us so that we might simply learn a lesson. God doesn't work that way. Instead, God meets us where we are in the middle of our struggles and stays with us and blesses us. Now, we may end up with a limp. We may come to a new understanding of our identity. But we will certainly know that God will never, ever let us go. And we see that with Jacob. He wrestled with God all night long. And in the end, he was a different person. He was given a new name. And he walked away from it with a limp that he had with him for the rest of his life. But he gained an entirely new outlook on life. Remember, before that all-night wrestling match, Jacob was known as the grabber. You know, he was always taking things that weren't his to take. He was deceptive. He was a trickster. You know, he didn't play by the rules. But his experience at Peniel changed him. Now, he had been afraid of what Esau might do to him, but those feelings were quickly overshadowed by this experience that he had at Peniel, the experience of seeing God face to face. And from that, he walked away a transformed man. Now, he was broken by this struggle. That's why he walked with a limp. but he was also blessed by his struggle. The hard things that we all face in life, they can break us. Let's be honest about it. But they can also be a source of blessing. And I think the difference is determined by how we respond. We can choose to act like poor losers, or we can learn and grow from our struggles. Now, after wrestling with God, Jacob realized he was tired of feuding with his brother. He was done with his selfish behavior. He was finally ready to go to Esau and beg for forgiveness because he wanted to act in a way that was consistent with his new name, Israel. He wanted to act like someone who had striven with God and with humans and prevailed. And that's what he did. In the morning, he limped toward Esau. And he bowed his head toward the ground because the only thing he wanted was mercy. And when Esau saw his brother, he ran up to him and gave him a great big hug. And they both broke down in tears. Jacob even said, "To see your face is like seeing the face of God, since you have received me with such favor." You know, given their history, it really is hard to believe that this happened. But wrestling with God transformed Jacob, and it transforms his relationship with Esau. And so I think this is one Bible story that we all can connect with. You know, how many of us have had a sleepless night struggling with our conscience or trying to justify our behavior for something we did? How many of us have suspected God was calling us to something that we really weren't keen on, and so we found sleep elusive while we were trying to come up with an alternative? How many of us have sought God's blessing, but we really weren't interested in the change that it would bring into our lives? Now, the good news for us is that when we are struggling in ways like these, God doesn't sit on the sideline waiting for us to come to Him. God confronts us through our conscience, through other people, through Scripture, through worship, and sometimes through gut-wrenching situations. But God seeks us out. God wrestles with us, and God won't let us go. See, the witness of the Bible is that we shouldn't be afraid of having this kind of struggle. We shouldn't avoid it either. We shouldn't worry about losing, because God will meet us right where we are. And we should never, ever be afraid to wrestle with the Lord, because it can be a source of blessing. The face of God might even be revealed to us, and we'll never be the same, but we will be transformed, and that's for our own good. So don't be afraid when you're going through a hard time. Take your struggle to the Lord. Wrestle with God. Hash it out. That's what we're invited to do. And we're invited to do this because the Lord wants to bless us. Would you pray with me? God, we are thankful for the many ways you come to us. And there are times when you even come to us to wrestle. But help us not be afraid when this happens. Help us to not be afraid to grapple with our faith and the implications the gospel has on our lives. May we learn to see our struggles as opportunities to encounter you and to be transformed in the process. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.